What is it?
It's something called an advent calendar.
What's an advent?
I don't know, but it comes with chocolate.
Why does this calendar start on the 2nd of December?
Mum does shop at those bargain stores.
Well, these chocolates aren't going to eat themselves.
Well, there's some for you and some for me.
Oh, I think I know why this calendar only goes up to 25 now. Look, there's a picture of some presents, a Christmas tree, Santa, and his reindeer behind those chocolates.
The things we get for Christmas will not last as long as the things we get from Christmas. We will finish our Christmas treats, get bored with our Christmas toys, and grow out of our Christmas clothes. But the things we get from Christ this Christmas and always, hope, peace, joy, and love, will go with us all our life. Why do we light the Advent candle?
The first Advent candle is the candle of hope. Jesus is our hope. He died on the cross to save us and give us everlasting life. The light of hope shines in the darkness, and the darkness never puts it out.
We light this candle for hope.
The second candle is the candle for peace. Jesus is our peace. His peace is deep and within us, reaches out to friends and strangers, brings justice to our world. We light this candle for peace. The third candle is the candle of joy. Jesus is our joy. The joy of Christ deep within us can help us reach out the sad, the suffering, and the lonely. We light this candle for joy.
The fourth candle is the candle of love. Jesus is our love. He is with us always and loves us unconditionally through all the events in our lives, in birth and death, in joy and sorrow. We light this candle for love. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you love us so much, even when we turn away from you. Help us to be aware of your love and share it with others always. Amen.
That was a nice message.
Yeah, that made me feel all warm inside.
Maybe you should stop eating the chocolate.
Maybe one more?
These pictures are all of people.
What people?
There's two people wearing leaves, some ancient-looking men, and a man with his hand in a honey pot.
Well, the scripture says, the first man, Adam, was created a living being, but the last Adam is the life spirit, the life-giving spirit. It is not the spiritual that comes first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first Adam, made of earth, came from the earth. The second Adam came from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:45-47. His descendants will become a great and mighty nation, and through him I will bless all the nations, Genesis 18:18.
It was the will of the Lord that his servant grow like a plant taking root in dry ground. He had no dignity or beauty to make us take notice of him. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing that would draw us to him. We despised him and rejected him. He endured suffering and pain. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. But because of our sins he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. Isaiah 53:2-5.
At that time, John the Baptist came to the desert of Judea and started preaching. Turn away from your sins, he said, because the kingdom of heaven is near. John was the man the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, someone is shouting in the desert, prepare a road for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel. Matthew 3:1-3.
I wonder who they were all talking about.
This is getting interesting. What's next? Let us sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Jubilee, my dear.
Oh, is that? Oh, sorry. Yep, okay, carry on. Great. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Come to Bethlehem, who's birth the angel's own. Come adore him to me, Christ the Lord, my new
things they're giving to baby Jesus.
Probably the most expensive things of that day.
So, kind of like iPhones, avocados, and petrol?
I guess so. Hey, there are 5 days left, but I thought that would be the end of the story. I wonder what the rest of the pictures are.
There's only one way to find out.
We've been looking at the story of Jesus as it's told in Luke's Gospel. It begins with the arrival of an unlikely king born in poor, humble circumstances.
Then we saw Jesus as a teacher, prophet. He went throughout Israel calling people to a radical way of life, where enemies become friends, the poor are cared for, where people find forgiveness for their failures.
He went from town to town inviting people to follow him and live under God's reign in this upside-down way.
And he did many signs and wonders, so many Israelites began to hope that he would rescue Israel from the Romans and set up a new kingdom of peace and justice. In short, that he would bring the kingdom of God.
Now, the religious leaders of the day were also hoping for God's kingdom. But to them, the message of Jesus was a threat.
Yeah, they had expected to gain power and prestige when this all went down. But Jesus said God's kingdom belongs to the poor, to the outsider, and that real power is serving others in love.
This conflict intensified when Jesus, while in Jerusalem, disrupted the temple sacrifices and called Israel's leaders a gang of rebels.
So they arrested Jesus, and they had him accused before the Roman authorities of being a rebel king. He was handed over for execution, even though he was innocent. Then he was taken outside the city and put to death on false charges.
This brings us to the final section of the Gospel of Luke. There was a religious leader named Joseph who opposed Jesus' execution and then requested to be given his body so he could bury Jesus in a nearby tomb.
And then, a couple of days later, some women who had followed Jesus came to visit that tomb, and they found it open and empty, and they encountered these mysterious figures telling them Jesus was alive from the dead. So they run away terrified. Nobody believed their report. I mean, he can't be alive. They all saw him die.
Now, just outside of Jerusalem, a pair of Jesus' followers were leaving the city, traveling on a road to a town called Emmaus, and they were sad and confused about everything that had happened.
Then Jesus shows up, walking alongside them, but they don't know it's him.
Yeah, that's weird. Why couldn't they recognize him?
Yeah, it's an odd but really significant image for Luke. They're blind to Jesus for some reason. So Jesus asks them, what are you guys talking about?
And they begin to tell him about Jesus, a powerful prophet who they expected would rescue Israel, but was instead executed. Some women say he's alive, which is crazy. It's all too much. We're going home.
So Jesus tries to explain that this is what the Jewish scriptures had been pointing to all along, that Israel needed a king who would suffer and die as a rebel on behalf of those who actually are rebels. And then he would be vindicated by his resurrection so he could give true life to those who would receive it.
But it's still not making sense. They're as confused as ever.
Which leads to the scene where they sit down for a meal with Jesus. He takes the bread, he blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them, just as he did at the Last Supper.
Yeah, this is the image of his broken body, his death on the cross.
And it's when they take in the broken bread, that's when their eyes are open to see Jesus, then he disappears, and the episode's over.
Well, that's quite a chain of events. Still 3 more days left.
The next two are a Bible and a picture of hands clasped together, like in prayer. I guess we have more to thank God for than chocolate, huh?
Yes, thank God for my mum and this Advent calendar that reminds me of what Christmas is about.
And thank God for what Jesus did for us all those years ago.
Why don't we all take a moment to bow our heads and thank God for all that's happened in 2018. And we're all going to pray silently together. I'm not going to lead it, sorry. And finally, we're at December 25th.
Drum roll, please. Look, it's you.
I think that's Jesus.
Well, I think we've had enough chocolate for the day.
Yeah, I'm full. Looking forward to celebrating the real meaning of Christmas this year, though. Oh, yeah, please stand. Sorry.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. 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 I wanna wish you a Merry
Christmas. Please don't wait. Alright, the stars and angels and the night sky, and everyone can sit down now. Can you give the kids and everyone involved a round of applause, please? And special thanks to the greatest mother-daughter combo in history. Auntie Jean and Celia for putting it together. So another round of applause for them, please. Cool. Well, I hope you got the I feel like I should stand in the middle way. I hope you got the gist of the play. I guess when you think of Christmas, there's a lot of symbols and things like that you can think of for Christmas, and lights, a Christmas tree and presents and stuff like that, which is all good. I love all that stuff, except for maybe shopping for presents, but everything else is good. But we all know that the real meaning of Christmas, and what all the Bible is pointing towards is Jesus himself. That's why we had the Bible verses from, you know, Abraham talking about his descendants, Isaiah the prophet prophesying about Jesus and his life, and then we had John the Baptist, who's obviously preparing the way for Jesus, right? So everything in the Bible points towards Jesus, but not only his birth, his life, how he lived, how he loved, how he served, how he reached out, but not only how he lived, but also how he died, innocent. And in our replace, in our place, and also not just how he died, but also how he was raised from the dead and showed himself to all those people. But even then, the story doesn't end there. The story continues with us. So we are to love and to serve and to reach out as he did, as he gave us the greatest example. So I think that's our job to do while we're here. So we can learn from our greatest example, which is Jesus, which we've just seen, how he came to this world and lived. So we're going to go to the presentation of the presents, the Sunday school kids. Why don't we start with the youngest kids?
All right, just before we give the presentation to the children, I'd like to give a huge word, vote of thanks to the music team. And you think, why the music team? Well, this is a result of the music team's mentoring of the young guys. They were shorter than me at one stage when I first came here, but look at them now, and they've just led the whole service on their own. Let's give them a... And I think we ought to give a vote of thanks to the music team too, every one of them. They've been part of training our young people. Now, perhaps before we do the presentation, the youth group leaders have been Nathan and James. Oh, could you stand up, please, just in case people don't know. There's James the star, the Rob, Nathan and Celia. So they've been our leaders for the youth group. And for the Sunday school, there's been Auntie Quinn and Michelle. Just stand up. With the little leads. And Wing Wai, Auntie Sue Ann, and myself with the older children. So thank you very much for all you've done this year. Could we ask the Sunday school teachers to come forward, please? And children, listen out for your name, because when you hear your name, come forward. Oh, Caleb. Are you here, Caleb? And Damien.